Thank you, God, for your word. Make it alive to us now and encourage us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been going over the blessings and riches of being in Christ, of being a Christian, in the book of Ephesians. In Christ, in him, as we read in verse 11, that's one who has received God's gift of salvation. This is strictly to Christians, to believers, who've received Christ as their Lord and Savior, one who has been born again and become part of the body of Christ. We receive many spiritual blessings. We're chosen ones, we're saints, and we're citizens of heaven. We're redeemed and forgiven, and many spiritual things for us awaiting us. And we're predestined, we the church, for many blessings. Now it seems verses 11 and 12, Paul is addressing himself and the early Jewish believers. The first believers were Jewish, and it seems he's addressing Jewish believers because he says, in him also we, he's included. And then in verse 13, he says, in him you also. So it seems verse 13 applies to Gentiles and we believers. And then verse 14, all believers. So verse 11, in him, those early Jewish believers who became believers in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All those early believers, they received an inheritance from God, and they were Jewish. Now, why is it important he tells them that? He says you were predestined to have all these blessings. We went over that the last couple weeks. That just means that God knew this church, thing called a church, would exist, and he predestined that people that belong to this group would have these benefits. Why is it important they know that? Because he wants them to know it. They have all these spiritual blessings now, not based on their Jewish heritage, not because they're Jews, because they felt superior and special, and they're going to inherit all these things, but a lot of them didn't walk with the Lord. He says, but now you're going to have all these spiritual blessings, and not based on the law or your Jewish heritage, but based upon your believing in Jesus. It's all grace. Jew and Gentile, all grace. Whoever comes to Christ, they're going to inherit these things in heaven. The law and their nationality didn't gain them an inheritance. The law just pointed them to Jesus because they realized they're sinners. We don't know we're sinners until we hear what sin is, and then we realize we're sinners. Wow, I do that, or I did that. And every time I think of something, I say, thank God for Jesus that we're saved by grace. We'd never make it. And he's telling them that. You're going to get there not because of you, but because of God. Just as we share in previous verses, in verse 11, this inheritance is due to them. They were predestined for them because they became in Christ. And everybody in Christ is rich. Everybody. We're all inherit great things. We're very rich here due to our faith. But our riches aren't measured by silver and gold. You see. Not any material thing. Just to be forgiven and having a home in heaven with my God. That's great. And the many blessings we have as Christians. There was a distraught wife. She sought out a Christian marriage counselor and told her sad story of a marriage about to dissolve. She said, but we have so much. She kept saying, look at this diamond ring on my finger. Why, it's worth thousands. We have an expensive mansion in an exclusive area. We have 3 cars and even a cabin in the mountains. Why, we have everything money can buy. And the counselor replied, well, it's good to have the things money can buy, provided you don't lose the things money can't buy. What good is an expensive house if there is no home, or an expensive ring if there is no love? And that's the way it is. What riches would you rather have? We believers have things that money can't buy. We need to enjoy them. Our enjoyment isn't going to be out there. Fulfillment. We have, as it says in verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. To have that love, that joy, that peace, where you can just rest in peace while you're alive. You don't have to wait till you're dead. People can rest in peace while they're alive if they focus on the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. And we need to continue to thank God for his blessings. So these first early Jewish believers obtained an inheritance just as we do today. And it's not based on nationality or being Jewish or Gentile, but solely on the grace of God. He just says, I love you and I'm going to bless you. You know, we read in the Bible where God told Israel, do you think I chose you because you're greater than any nation? Or this or that? He says, no, because I love you. Just because. It's like children, when they're asking you all these questions, it gets to the point where you say, just because. You know, they have hundreds of questions, and you get to the point, because. And that's what God says. Enough. Because I love you. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's called us to, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible. Won't get moth-eaten or rusty, corroded. No one's going to steal it. It's undefiled, and it's not going to fade away because it's reserved in heaven for you. We have some things waiting for us in heaven. Like Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I can't imagine what it's like. But I know anything the Lord builds is good. It's going to be good. We got to focus on the things that are imperishable, that do not fade away. And you notice a reservation in heaven. Wow. You might call around today and not be able to get a reservation somewhere for dinner. But you have a reservation in heaven. What better place to eat? The marriage supper of the Lamb. A reservation in heaven. What a precious reservation. And it's there for us. All through Jesus, Jew and Gentile. In verse 11, where it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. That word obtained didn't mean we work for it. It means to allot or to assign. Because some of our English words don't really tell what the Lord is really saying, but it means here that we didn't work for it or got it somehow or bought it. No, it means to allot or to assign. God just says, I'm allotting this stuff to you in heaven. I'm assigning this to Jim. And this is his place. You know, and actually some believe this could be interpreted, we were made as an inheritance to God. In other words, in Christ, we are God's inheritance. What does God get out of it all? Us. Isn't that awesome? He's happy with us. We're not even happy with each other. And he's happy with us. All the complainers are going to go sit over there. But can you imagine that? God, we're God's inheritance. We're valuable to him, his treasure. We're precious to him, special. And God, and in verse 11, and he works all these things according to the counsel of his will. He wanted to do this. He desires to do things for us. See, God doesn't seek counsel from anyone. Hey, should I do this or not? What do you think? Should I or not? He just determines what he wants to do and he does it. He seeks counsel from himself. He's the counselor. Now, verse 12. And that we, again, he, speaking of himself and these early Jewish believers, that we who first trusted in Christ, so we see that's who he means, should be to the praise of his glory. We Jewish believers who first trusted in Christ, he did this so that we would be to the praise of his glory. God's just blessed with us. We exist to bring praise and glory to God. And so were these first believers. And now Paul brings in you and me, other believers, all believers, Gentiles. Verse 13, in him, speaking to these, to the church at Ephesus here, in him, you also trusted. Hey, you did too. You believers also trusted. And look at this. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He said, you believers, you Gentiles, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed, it means completed. There's nothing more you have to do. It ended at the resurrection. Actually, it ended at the cross, the forgiveness of our sin. But Jesus proved he was who he was through the resurrection. Oh, power over death and sin. Isn't that wonderful? We are sealed. Since then, people have added all kinds of religions and faiths and doctrines. It ended with Jesus. We're sealed. Aren't you glad we don't have to search for something new? It's done. It's a done deal is what he's saying here. He's telling his people, it's done. You're all okay. You're in Christ. Remember, he's speaking to in him in verse 11. Everybody that's in Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Spirit as confirmation we are Christ's. We know we are saved. The Holy Spirit testifies of truth and he teaches us truth. It means we're born again. We have the Holy Spirit. And if you're not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And that's how we tell whether a person's going to heaven or not. Are they born again? Now, here's the interesting thing about verse 13. If you want to share the gospel with anyone, you can share Ephesians 1, verse 13. You can take it apart and share the gospel. In him, in Christ, and a Christian is one who does what's in verse 13. You trusted, but remember it says you trusted after you heard. So there's four things here. First, you heard. Number one is you heard. You have to hear the gospel. Number two, you trusted. Number three, you believed. And number four, you're sealed and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. There's the gospel. One verse. That's what it means to be born again, if anybody wants to know. In Ephesians 1, we see the Trinity at work, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In verse 3 and 4, we see the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 3, 4, and 5. In verse 7, we see the Son, our Redeemer. In Christ, we have redemption. And in verse 8, we see the Holy Spirit, and he seals us. And we see that right here. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, we heard the word of truth. So here is the way it goes. Number one, you hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is absolutely no other way a person's going to come to salvation. In Paul's case, he heard it directly from Jesus. In my case, I heard it through tracts, people sharing the gospel, watching TV in church, heard the gospel. But you have to hear it. You can't believe in something you don't hear. So first, you have to hear it, the word of truth. Secondly, they trusted. You put your complete trust and faith, that, in other words, that's speaking of our faith, in Jesus Christ. He is the only hope of salvation. Now, when it says you heard, what did you hear? The word of truth. You notice it said, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So what did they hear? They heard the word of truth. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you heard about Jesus. So first of all, you have to hear about Jesus. And secondly, you have to believe in, you trust in him that, okay, it's true. It's true. There's one way. I trust that, that if I do that, I will be saved. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. The third thing is, in whom you also having believed, you have to then believe it. Because you can hear it and not believe it. You can say, well, not for me. It's okay for you. You need a crutch. You need Jesus, but I don't. So you can hear it, but say, not for me. I don't really need that, or I don't really want that. You have to believe in Christ as the way, that this is the way to heaven, that he is the Messiah, the Savior. And then fourth thing is, you're sealed once you do those three things with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that speaks of the deal being done and the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Now, this sort of, you know, the parable of the sower that we read about in Matthew and Mark, it really speaks of that, that not everybody who hears is going to be saved. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. You know, someone's planting seed. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, they probably all had ears, and they probably all heard his voice. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, as Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, hear. And he talks about hearing always. Well, that's because people hear, but they don't hear. They're just in one, like you might say, one in one ear and out the other. He says, listen. Take it in. And so, get down to verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. That's the word of God. That's what people need to hear. We read that. You have to hear the word of truth. And these are the ones by the wayside, where it fell by the wayside, the seed, where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. They hear it, but immediately Satan's right there. Ah, that's not for you. Too narrow, too constrictive. You have to be too committed. No freedom. And immediately, hey, it's gone. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Maybe an emotional decision. Hey, that's great. That sounds great. And all my friends are doing it. And it sounds good. Let's jump on the bandwagon. But they have no root in themselves. No root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. It looks for a while, hey, maybe this is going to take with them. You notice it says for, no, I don't know what that term means, a little time. Because sometimes we get confused. Well, I thought this person was a Christian. And look, now it seems when they have a choice in life to sin or follow the Lord, they pick the sin. You know? And you say, well, I thought they were a Christian. Well, it says it endures for a while. But then something comes up that, well, I want that more than I want the Lord. And then, you know, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. It endures only for a time. After, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Hey, that's it. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. They all heard this. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They heard it. But here's the people that really heard it, the word of truth. And then went further as we went in our steps today. They trusted, they believed, and they were sealed. These didn't just disappear. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. That word means receive it. So they received it personally. And they bear fruit. There's a work of the Holy Spirit in them. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So that's how we can tell. You see, if a person hears, well, that doesn't cut it, even though it looks like it might take for a while. Something's going to, you know, they're going to give up on it. But you need these things to happen. They heard, they trusted, they believed, and then they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the ones that are in Christ. And so, in Him you trusted and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But they're in Christ. And so, we are this group of people that are in Christ, and we're called Christians. But this, when it tells us here that in verse 13 what happens, this is not all-inclusive. There is only room, there's no room for other faiths or beliefs or people coming together, because it's very constrictive here in verse 13. It's Jesus, the word of truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You hear that, you trust in Him, you believe it, you receive Him, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see why there's no room for any other religions or faiths or beliefs? There's no compromise. There's no way we can come together. Absolutely not. Because we're in Him. And then we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the game changer. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have something as believers that no one else in the world has. And that's the Holy Spirit. And it can only happen if you hear, believe, trust, and believe. The only way. So we're unique. And that's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians. We're this group of people that God knew about from the beginning of time, called the church. And now we're here. You know, it's amazing that we're part of this group that started 2,000 years ago. Isn't that something? What goes on that long? That's proof that the Holy Spirit is working. No one's been able to quench it. Him, really. So we are in Him, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the difference between us and everybody else. Legal, and this is what this term means, and they knew about this in this day. Legal documents are processed and stamped or sealed. Legal documents. They're sealed and stamped with the official seal to signify a completion of a transaction. Has to be sealed. The notary is God. Has to be sealed, this transaction. A seal on a document gives validity. Hey, this is the real thing. This is from me. This is from God. Now, One who believes and immediately is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise means the transaction is completed, sealed by God. Nothing more to do. We're Christians. A done deal. Now, at the point of salvation, this happens. One is born again. As Jesus said, you must be born again, and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You become spiritually alive, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm now sealed. I'm God's property. That's good. That means I'm going to heaven. I'm on the right boat. You know, I'm being shipped out to heaven, you know. I'm sealed, and I'm sealed by Him. Done deal. At one point, a person has to be born again and then sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, as he told them at the beginning of chapter 14, hey, I'm leaving, but don't worry about it. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's what we've been reading about. Whom the world cannot receive, people in the world can't, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you once you're born again. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I'm not going to leave you alone. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we're sealed, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit confirms we're God's property. Christians are unique. We are part of God's plan since the beginning to be this group of people, to one day be in heaven glorifying God. The Spirit confirms these things in us that this is true. If you're a born-again Christian, you know this is true. And no one is going to change you. Isn't that great? The Spirit confirms that we're born again. We don't go by feeling. We don't wake up one morning and say, well, I don't really feel saved. Too bad. You're wasting your day. Know you're saved. You see, don't go by feeling, but by truth. Let the Holy Spirit testify to you. Now, in him you also trusted, the word of truth, the gospel of yours. You notice the gospel of your salvation you trusted in? In whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal is also a sign of ownership. Merchants would purchase goods, and they would wrap the crate and put their seal on the merchandise. They still do that. You have a crate, they might wrap it, but then they put a seal on it of who owns that. Okay, then they put it on a ship. When it comes to port, the cargo's unloaded, and you know how they distribute things? They spot the seal of ownership on the goods, and that they send it off to that person. You see, the seal of ownership shows who that cargo belongs to. And the only way they know it is because of the seal. It's theirs. So how does that relate to us? We are the cargo. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And on us, Jesus writes, mine. Deliver this to me once they're out of that place. And we go to be with the Lord. Why? Because we're His. We belong to Him. Aren't you glad no one else can steal you? Now, you can dye your hair. You can have plastic surgery. You can lose weight. You can gain weight. You can do whatever. He still knows it's you and you're stamped mine. Isn't that great? No matter what changes. Mine. We're stamped with the seal. And He knows exactly who you are. You can't fool me. I know who you are. He knows those. The Bible says Jesus knows those that are His. The Holy Spirit is God's seal upon us. And verse 14, also the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is also the guarantee of our inheritance until we're literally redeemed, like we're stamped, just like that cargo, but we're not there yet. That comes at redemption time, you see. And so until the redemption of the purchased possession, we've been purchased, and one day we're going to be redeemed and then purchased to the praise of His glory. Bring Him glory. So the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. That word means down payment of our inheritance. Ever heard of earnest money? It means the earnest. Earnest money means guaranteed money that you put on something to secure it, to secure the transaction to make sure it's yours. Like a car or a house or anything. It'd be like a down payment. You've put this down and that's yours. And I'm going to move back here in 3 months and go live in it. But that's mine. That's mine. God said to us, I'm serious about this. I'm putting something down so you're going to know you're mine. I'm guaranteeing possession, inheritance, the down payment. And guess who the guarantee is? The Holy Spirit in us. It works two ways. He guarantees that the transaction is completed, and it also gives us a guarantee within us that I belong to God. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us all things, and he testifies of Jesus. We know we're saved because of the Holy Spirit in us. That's the down payment before we get there. We know we're His. How do we know? The Holy Spirit in me testifies of that. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven because of the Holy Spirit in me. I don't wake up in the morning and say, I wonder where I'm going when I die. I was pretty miserable yesterday, so I don't know. God says, no. You start thinking like that, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts convicting you. Oh, don't think like that. You know you're a Christian. You're just having a bad day. Isn't that good we have the Holy Spirit? And that He convicts us of sin and keeps us where we should be? It's wonderful. See, the world doesn't have that. You know, you look at people and say, doesn't that bother you doing that? It doesn't bother me. Bothers me. Why? The Holy Spirit. Not that I'm better than somebody else, but I have the Holy Spirit in me. Say, that's wrong. Don't do that. And when you do, you're miserable, aren't you? The word guarantee, earnest in Old King James, it means engagement ring. This word means engagement ring. So you get an idea. I'm His. I'm part of the bride of Christ. I belong to Him. Not living there with Him yet, but I'm His. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. Testifies, seals me and testifies me. Yes, I belong to the Lord. We're not a runaway bride. We're never going to run away. We're His and only His. It's a pledge, a down payment. It's guaranteed possession that the Holy Spirit testifies, and I'm sealed by the blood of the Lamb and reveals truth to me. We know things that the world doesn't know. The things of the Spirit, the things that we have of heaven and all these things. We've been given a foretaste of glory divine through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit testifies we are His. You know, in this world, we have trouble and we have tribulation. And then we have much trouble and much tribulation, much heartache, much sorrow. And it can test your faith, just like Job. He went through it with God. But through it all, he came to know God, that God is real and sovereign. And God's not going to give up on him. And it can get tough in the world. It can get horrible in the world. And it can cause doubt to come in. Did you ever doubt your faith? It can get so bad that you can say, why, God? Or why is this happening? Or what's going on? And the enemy can get you to think, well, maybe it's all not real. Maybe I die and that's it. You know, or why is this person dying? Or why did they go through this aggravation or this disease, this illness, this heartache? And doubt, when the trouble gets worse and worse and worse, can creep in. Thank God he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, we would walk away. We would say, forget it. It wouldn't make sense that a God of love would allow that person to die that way. It wouldn't make sense to the normal person. Or why is this happening? Why is that happening? But thank God that we have the Holy Spirit that testifies we are his and God is still on the throne. Don't try to understand it. Just believe it. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He possesses us. No matter what we go through here, we're going to end up with the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? Where there's no more weeping, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. That's where we're going to end up. And the Holy Spirit testifies that. The world doesn't. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You're in a bad place. But the Holy Spirit keeps us from doing that because we know this is real. Our eyes would tell us no sometimes, our ears, the circumstances. But we know this is real by the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we'd doubt. You know, we still may doubt, but the Holy Spirit brings us back. Romans 8, chapter 22, please. Romans 8, 28, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. There's groaning. There's things going on. The world is a difficult place to live because it's fallen. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan. Even we Christians groan. Within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting for. Even this body can get you to groan a lot of times. We're waiting for the redemption of it, the new body. Won't that be awesome? But we have the first fruits of the Spirit, the foretaste of things to come, but we still groan. And the older you get, the louder you groan. And the more often. You see, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit testifying that this is true and God is a God of love, we would not stand fast in our faith. If we went by intellect or by sight or by circumstances, a lot of people give up. A lot of people get bitter at God because they lost someone or this happened or that happened or God allowed this in their life. And many people that profess to know Christ have gone there. But were they truly born again? Probably not. But if they were, God brought them back. But when you have the Holy Spirit, God will keep you. He's going to complete that which he started in you. He will get you to where you're going, home with him. Jesus soon is coming to possess, take his possession to actually redeem you. And that's going to be at the rapture of the church. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, so those that have gone on before us, I'll be with Christ in the air. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Won't that be awesome? We'll meet them, the relatives that went to be with the Lord. We're going to, at this point in history, we're going to all be together again. You know, at funerals, we usually say, well, you're going to see them again. It's a time of mixed emotions, sorrow and joy. Joy, you're going to see them again. And this is the time. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this is where we get our new bodies, our resurrected bodies, where the transaction is complete. We're redeemed. And it tells us here, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. It's just like the Lord saying, well, in order to fill up the bride and get this wedding complete, I got to get the rest of believers. And come on up here. It's time. And we all go to be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We comfort one another with those words because we can groan. If you need comfort today, focus on your inheritance and your glorious future. But you know, maybe you've had doubts, this is all true because the Holy Spirit testifies of truth. The Spirit of God who dwells in you tells you, this is true and you're rich. Listen to the Spirit. God, we thank you for your word today. We just pray that our faith is strong, that our trust is in you alone. I pray that we listen to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and that we would be comforted. Lord, let us leave here today walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Let it be a day of victory for all of us. I pray, Lord, that you would bring Jesus back quickly. That's our prayer. Jesus, come quickly to redeem your possession. We want to be with you, Lord. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache. Just joy forever. The presence of the Lord. These things are true. They're not a fairy tale or a story. They're truth. And we know the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We know that, Lord. We're convicted of sin. We're having truth given to us. And we know these things are true. We know we're sealed and we're going to be with you forever. So let us dwell on that. And while we're here, make our lives fruitful. Set our hearts on the things we have, not on the things we don't. Let us get rid of those things. Lord, we have you, and we have much, and we have love, joy, peace, and all these things that money can't buy. Thank you so much for saving us. We look forward to the good life you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.